searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the
shifting the atmosphere.
One more time. It's moving.
try so hard to be the best that I could be. It's like every time I take one step, something's right in front of me. Lord, where would I be without your grace and mercy? Oh, now I have one question, Lord, why? And I was so why I'll never know. My life was headed out of control. Somehow I shifted into overload. But then you came and did a work in me. Out of everything I once was, somehow you saw a masterpiece.
Thank you, Jesus. Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love, purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill this place.
Let your all-consuming fire, yeah.
Fill this tabernacle,
yeah.
Purify our hearts.
Surround us in this. Let's ask for the rain tonight. Let's ask for the rain. Say rain on us.
Rain on us.
Somebody needs him to breathe.
Breathe on us.
Oh. consuming fire. Feel me.
Praise God, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Gathering to lift up his name. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne. Lord, and we say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, your long-suffering towards each and every one of us. Lord, we are humbled in your sight. Lord, recognizing, Lord, that it's only because of you that we yet stand, God. It's only because of you, Lord, that we have the opportunities in life, Lord, that is set before us. Your love, Lord, your desire to draw us near to you is never, never ending. And we thank you right now, Lord. And we ask you to speak to our hearts, Lord, as we lay aside, Lord, those things that would distract us or derail us, that we would bring our hearts and our minds in unto you, Lord, that we would quiet our flesh, Lord, and allow our spirit man to hear and to receive that you have for us on this day and every day, Lord, as we continue to give you acknowledgement of who you are, Lord. We just ask you right now, Lord, to let your spirit have its way in this place. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you have given us another day, another opportunity to draw close to you and to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. God is a good God. Amen. And children going out today, amen. We'll have released our children to their class. Oh, no class today? No class. Yeah, that's at the end, okay. Amen. So we thank God for the opportunity. What you doing? Okay. Amen. We did want to go ahead and do that. I think we'll do that now. Amen. Because we want to acknowledge our graduates, those that have graduated or graduating here, amen. Carson, those that are watching us online, amen. We just, you know, humbly come before you to share God's word, amen. It's been a short week after, you know, Memorial Day. The week just went by like, oof, gone, amen. We had a good time on Memorial Day, but here we are this morning, amen. This morning, I just want to take some time to talk about the amazing grace of God. Amen. Recently, we wrapped up a Bible study over several weeks talking about grace and the Christian Amen. I know many of you missed that. Amen. But it was an amazing study. Amen. As we shared and conversed about, you know, how God's grace operates. And there's no way I can regurgitate all that we would cover during that series. Amen. Of weeks and talking about. So I'm not even going to try that. But we're going to take a look at grace from a slightly different point of view this morning. You know, grace is a very broad topic. Amen. In fact, it involves every aspect of the Christian experience. Amen. So we're going to talk about graced by grace. Amen. And you'll understand what that's saying as we get into the message. But graced by grace. You know, grace is something that a Christian can't get away from. And neither should we want to. Amen. But it's something, amen, that it's one of the most powerful things that a Christian today can grab hold to and get understanding of grace and how it operates in and over and through our lives. Amen. So I want you to pay attention as we go through these passages and just exhort on the power as we attempt to help us to understand the power of God's grace. Amen. And how it functions today. And it's functioning well. Believe you me. God's in control, right? And he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what we need, even when we're in the most difficult seeming circumstances and situations. Amen. He's right there. Just tell somebody he's right there. You know, when he said, I'll never leave you, he meant it. Amen. But he said he will be with us always. Amen. You know, in today's church, there's a lot of fear and condemnation, control, amen, constrictions, all kinds of things, amen, that is evident in the body of Christ, amen. And people are struggling. People are frustrated, amen. People are wondering, amen, is this what it means to be saved, all right? You know, is this what it takes, all that? Amen. And when we step back and we begin to look at some of these things through the lens of God's grace, some of the things, amen, must fall by the wayside. Amen. You know, sometimes we put more on ourselves than God puts on us. We require more, amen, because if we could do it by those things, we would need his grace. Amen. And we begin to look at, you know, if we understand that the power of his grace more clearly and completely, we begin to see that it produces more positive effects in the lives of God's people than negative effects. In fact, you know, as I think about God's grace, I can't think of anything negative about it. All right. Except for the fact that sometimes we don't accept it. Amen. We don't allow it to flow to us and through us. Amen. And you know, so it's understanding, you know, I spoke on this topic many years ago from this vantage, you know, just looking at them and say, you know what? We need to understand this part of grace as well. You know, as pastors and ministers, as continue to search the scriptures, amen, to find ways to help God's people, amen, to be able to live and excel in life, you know, and to be spiritually liberated and freed up and empowered in our lives. It's easy to overlook the power of God's grace and all that. I mean, we get teachings and lessons on every aspect. Amen. But and a lot of those things don't even touch on the grace of God. Amen. And that's not to take away from the teachings. But, I just can't help but wonder, in the middle of all that, we understand that God's grace is in action. It's, you know, and it's moving. Amen. So we don't want to overlook it. Amen. And, you know, I remember years ago, you know, I made a statement, amen, that we need to stop looking for God's mercy and asking for God's grace, amen, and just get in God's favor. You know, but when I think about that statement, I have to retract that statement. And the reason I say I have to retract it is because there's no way we could have God's mercy and get into God's favor without God's grace. Amen. Grace is the key that opens the door for us to be able to move from A to B, to move from sin to righteousness. Grace is the only way in to salvation. And, you know, as we begin to look at it, you know, the liberty that grace brings in our life, amen, that it brings into the world is all because of God. It has nothing to do with me and you. Nothing we can do, amen, to earn it, amen, or to, you know, qualify for it. Or none of that. If you could earn it, it ain't grace. And if you had to qualify to get it, it's not grace. Amen. So just to clarify the grace I'm talking about, you know, God's grace is not. And we want to look at what God's grace is not. Amen. It's not a short prayer spoken over your meal. You know how we say, let's say grace. No, you bless your food. That's not grace. I mean, that's not the grace I'm talking about. Amen. It's not a title that we use to address dukes and duchesses or archbishops, your grace. That's not the grace I'm talking about. No, no, no. Amen. It's not a temporary extension or, you know, an exception from something. We're going to give you grace in this. You don't have to do. No, that's not what I'm talking about. All those things are man's connotation of grace and how we function in it. But what God's grace is, what his grace is, a virtue of power coming from God. It's power coming from God. It's unmerited divine assistance given for our regeneration and sanctification. Now, hear what that said. It's an unmerited, in other words, unearned, and if I can go so far as to say, undeserved. And this is the part that I really want us to let sink in. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. Amen. That's what makes it grace. Amen. But it says it's assistance. How many of us ever think about grace as our assistance? It helps us. It empowers us. Amen. Because it comes from God. Amen. A special approval or favor or privilege from God. Amen. And I know many times we look and we see times that, you know, we know it was the favor of God that got us through this or that. The favor of God to open that door or that door. You know, and you know, when God looks on us, I mean, even when I think about Christ going to the cross, amen, that was God's grace in action. Amen. You know, because through his going to the cross, we were approved for a relationship with God. Now, as I say that, I think about oftentimes we apply for this or that, and we're waiting for the approval to see if we got the loan or if we got the house or if we even if we got the job, we're waiting to get that phone call or that communication that says you're approved. And as soon as we get that approval, we're in action. We're moving, right? We're going down at a dealership and pick it up. Amen. We're going to go and do the paperwork to get the key because we're approved for that level of loan. We take action when we're approved for those things. But when I say Christ was our approval for salvation on the cross, how many people have taken action to lay hold of that salvation? How many people are running to the altar or running to the church or whatever it takes, turning to their word to accept that approval over our lives? Because you've been approved. All men have been approved. All they got to do is accept it. All they got to do is accept that approval, amen, that privilege that he gives us, even though we don't qualify for the privilege. He's made it available to you and I. But we don't oftentimes, and when I say we, I'm speaking generally, okay? Amen. But, you know, often grab hold of that approval or take advantage of that privilege, amen, for the good of our living. For being able to overcome this or that or this, amen, because we don't really see how much grace is being afforded to us right where we are. Right there. Grace is saying, come on. Grace is saying, it's yours. Let's look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read down through 6:1. Just a few verses. But just the lady said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, now we're talking to Christians, amen, or potential Christians. But it says, if any man be in Christ, he is that present tense? It didn't say he'll become a new creature. He said he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. He's talking to the church. He said, all these things, he's reconciled. He's brought us back into relationship, amen, through Christ, amen, to a relationship with God, amen, hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, now hear what he said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions, or their trespasses, excuse me, unto them. Now, hear what he said. He came in the person of Jesus Christ to reconcile the world. Amen. In other words, to bring the world, us, back into relationship with him. But this is the part that really you gotta hear. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, not holding your trespasses against you. That's like, wow. I mean, he's doing it right where you are. He's made it available right where you are. Amen. And he said, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God had beseeched you by us. In other words, he's talking to the Corinthians, but he's telling them that we are the apostles that are here. We're his ambassadors. Amen. It's as though God is speaking to you through us. Amen. He's beseeched you. Amen. And that word beseech, amen, it carries a stronger connotation than just asking. It's to implore, amen. It carries the weight, amen, of appealing to somebody, that pressing upon them. He said, I beseech you. In other words, it's an urgency behind the request. It's an urgency that requires action, amen, on the part of the hearer. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what part have we played? Nothing yet. He became my sin, your sin. And in turn, amen, we became his righteousness. And we know, let's be real, we ain't earned it. He did it before we showed up. And he's still doing it while we messed up. He's still making it available to us. And then, and he says in 6:1, and then as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. He said, don't receive it in vain. And when we see Christ on the cross, you know, don't let it be in vain. All the work, all the effort, amen, to bring us back, to reconcile us to himself, don't let his death be in vain. You know, when I read that, I think about, you know, the movie. I know some of y'all have seen Saving Private Ryan. Anybody saw that movie? Amen. It's a very good movie. Amen. With Tom Hanks in it, and he plays the lieutenant. And it was a group of brothers that had joined the war, in World War II. And I think it was five brothers, and you know, the officers that would send out notifications, you know, for when the soldiers would die in the field, they would type out these telegrams, and the young lady noticed that she had seen three with the same last name. You know, so she went to her supervisor and talked to them, and they realized that these were brothers, three of them, but there was five of them that had joined. And then the fourth one died. So he put together a group of men and sent them behind enemy lines to find the last one, the last Ryan, Saving Private Ryan, because they could not just imagine letting this mother or father lose all five. So they sent them to retrieve this young man and get him out of harm's way. And along the way, this platoon, this group of men that Tom Hanks was leading, they ran into all kind of trouble, all kind of fire. Amen. And by the time they got to Private Ryan and found the right Ryan, because there were more Ryans, but by the time they found the right one, most of his men had been killed trying to save Private Ryan. And it came down to the final battle. It was protecting a bridge. You know, and Tom Hanks was fighting, and he had Private Ryan, and he stuffed him in a safe place and said, "Stay there." You know, and they fought, and in the fighting, he was wounded. Not Ryan, but Hanks. I forget what his name was in the movie. But as he was dying, he pulled Ryan close, you know, and he said to him, I don't remember the exact words, but he said something to the effect of, "Make it count. Make it count." Other words, the sacrifice of these men, the sacrifice of my life and my dying breath, said, "Make it count." And at the end of the movie, they show Ryan as an old man standing over his grave, you know, and he had made it count. And why do I say that? Because when I think about the cross and I think about the grace and the opportunity that's made for you and me, I have to say the same thing. We have got to make it count.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good.
Make the sacrifice count. Make the grace that God has made available to make it count. Do not let it be in vain. All that he's done for us, amen. And then we talk about reconciliation, to bring back into friendship, to bring back into favor, to bring back into harmony, amen. This is what God desires, amen, for each and every one of us, amen. But we have got to hear it, understand it, and act upon it. And continue to walk in it. Because, you know, as Pastor Linda was saying, you know, when we first come to Christ, amen, we are gung-ho and on fire, amen, and carrying our Bible everywhere we go, amen, and wanting to tell everybody about Jesus. But after a while, we get comfortable, amen, and we lose that zeal. We lose that excitement, and we just kind of settle back into the routine of life. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves going in the wrong direction. You know, but we want to make it count, y'all. You know, as I read that passage in the King James, amen, it might have lost some of you. So I want to read it in Amplified. Same passage, amen, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself, receiving us into favor, brought us into harmony with him." He's doing this for us. "And gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by the word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him." Aim to bring others. Who remembers what our theme is for this year? I don't see no hands going. Aiming to live, as kingdom representatives. Amen. But you got to take aim. In other words, you got to be purposeful. You can't bring others if you ain't there. You can't bring others if you don't even see the target. Right? So he says, aiming to get there, aiming to make it happen. Amen. He says, God personally present. It was God's personal presence in Christ reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their transgressions. Think about that. He ain't counting it up. He's not holding it against you. But canceling them. Let that sink in just for a minute. He didn't come to hold it against you. He came to cancel out all my wrongs. Just you know, how many got bills in here, got debt in here? How would you feel if somebody just called you up or came by and said, you know what? I know it's kind of heavy on you paying all this stuff here. I'm just going to cancel it. Cancel your debt. But I could see smiles all around the room. Just the thought of it. Canceling all your debt. Right? That would be a wonderful day. But let me tell you this. It is a wonderful day because God cancels all your debt toward him. But you owe him. He already canceled all your debt. Amen. But see, we got to understand that. We can go and reclaim it. You know how people, they take out the consolidation loan to get all the debt done. You just cancel it. Amen. And then next thing you know, they find themselves right back in the same boat because they got no discipline. Oh, I got more money, free money now. I just canceled all that stuff. I just got one bill, and it's less than all the other stuff together, so I can go spend more money and be right back in the same place with the other bill. What am I saying? God can cancel our debt, but we can get right back in it. Amen. We can get right back in it. And the worst second state of that man is what? Worse. Y'all understand the scripture. Amen. So we see that. Amen. He canceled them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you. That's why I went to the Amplified, you know, those words like that. He said, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Beg you. Wow. How many people really got to be begged to receive a free gift? Something that you could never earn, you could never afford, you could never purchase. Amen. You can even imagine, amen, ever having it, but they got to beg you to take it. If someone came in and was offering you $1 million, 10 million, a billion, would they have to beg you to take it? With no strings attached. And not only that, blessings beyond that. They wouldn't have to beg us to take it. But what God is offering us, he said, we beg you. That's strong language, y'all. To be reconciled with God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, that we ought to be approved and accepted and in right relationship with him by his goodness, laboring together as God's fellow workers with him then. And then he says again, we beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them, do not receive it to no purpose. I could say benediction right there. Don't let it be wasted. Begging you to receive what's being given and presented to you and me. I mean, and it's right there in our face. Right there for us, amen. And it's all by what? That amazing grace of God. His grace. His forgiveness. His love. Amen. You know, it's time that we really understand, amen. If we really understand the scripture, what he's saying, it would uplift the downhearted Christian. It would encourage you, amen, to a place, amen, in the lowest person, amen. It would be raised up to a place of, what, me? That includes me? Right? Yes, it does include you. It includes me. It includes every single one of us. Amen. The deepest ranked sinner would fall in love with God to realize that you made all this available. And all I got to do, all we got to do is accept it. Amen. This is so powerful. Amen. To understand it and to walk in it. Amen. So that there's nothing that would be able to override that. Nothing would be able to cause us to throw it away if we really, really understood. Let me say that again. If we really understood what's made available, nothing in this world, and let me say it like this, nothing and nobody in this world will cause us to turn our back on it if we really understood it. But you know how it is. It's intangible. It's invisible. It's a heart matter, watch out, between you and God. You know, and sometimes, you know, when we feel in the weight and the pressures of life, amen, the struggles, amen, that we feel and we go through, amen, those are tangible. They're real. They're touchable. We can see the bill. Amen. We can feel the longing, whatever it might be. And we cater to the natural because it's right in your face. But I look at the passages in the Word of God. It's right in our face, too. He said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Now, you would think that God wouldn't have to beg. And you say, well, he wasn't the one that wrote that. It was, you know, it was apostles. And apostles said they're an ambassador. But he said it's as though God was speaking to you through us. So we are his voice. We are his mouthpiece. Amen. And this is how great that they're imploring this upon them to hear. But yet some would say it's too simple. You know, y'all know how when you're talking to people about their situation or something they're going through and you're trying to help them out or you're trying to get some clarity, what do they tell us? It's complicated. Anybody ever get that answer? Yeah. It's complicated. In other words, you wouldn't understand. It's complicated. It's deeper than you. No, it's not complicated. Not at all. You just don't want to explain it because, you know, if I explain it, it would just... It would make too much sense of where I am or what I'm choosing. It's complicated, you know. That just kind of covers it all. I don't got time to go into the depth of all the stuff behind. No, Christ died for all of it. It's not complicated. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Good is good. Bad is bad. We like to complicate it because, you know, we know that if we just yield, then we got to change, right? Or y'all quiet on me right now. Y'all got them complicated things going on in your life. I'm not looking at nobody, amen. But you know, but when they don't want to deal with it, it's just complicated. You know, it's not as easy, it's not as simple as that. David, don't you get it? Don't you understand? I understand, but you know what? God understands even more what he did to help us out. He understands even more. Amen. So when we look at this thing and this reconciliation that's been made possible, amen, just noting, amen, the admonition, amen, that the Apostle Paul was bringing unto them, amen, concerning this grace and not operating this grace in the grace in vain or letting it be in vain. But he's saying this is the key. It's the key that brings us into relationship with God and helps us out if we would just get a hold of it. Amen. Like I said, we can't earn it, acquire it by law. Oh, wait a minute. Sometimes we want to impose the law upon everybody, right? We can't do it by our righteousness or our holiness because the Bible tells us all our righteousness is what? Filthy rags, right? Amen. It's never enough. Your efforts are never enough. That's why Christ went to the cross. The sacrifice of the bullocks and the turtle doves and all was never enough. Amen. So all those things, amen, were never enough. But so came up with the one thing that was more than enough, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ hanging on the tree, amen, and for you and I, amen, to save us from us. Sometimes we put it on everybody else, but Lord, save me from me, right? To reconcile us to God. Look at Ephesians 2. Verse 4 through 9, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in what? Heavenly places. He took you out of the muck and the mire, and so to sit you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, amen, that in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. See, you gotta believe this thing. See, maybe that's part of the problem. We don't really believe it, right? He said, let every man be what? Freely persuaded in his own mind, amen. So we gotta get there. And he didn't say partially persuaded. Be persuaded. He said fully persuaded. So we're looking at this. He said, and that not of yourselves, talking about that faith, it is the gift of God. He gave us what we needed to get what we needed. Did y'all hear what I said? He gave us what we needed to get what we needed. You know, so you know, because the Bible tells us no man comes except he is drawn. Amen. So that tells me that I didn't even have enough sense to turn to God. He drew me to him. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about y'all. But, you know, so he drew me to him. Amen. Because I didn't have enough sense to understand that I needed him. Amen. And then he began to reveal himself over and over through scripture and through the word and all these things. Amen. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me build the case a little bit further here. Amen. As we look at this, you know, sin, grace is not a license to sin. Oftentimes people don't want to talk about the power and the grace of God because they feel like people are going to take it as a license to sin. I can just go and do what I want. I just get forgiven. No, that's not God's will. That's not his desire. That's not his way. That's taking it, you know, in vain, right? So we need to understand this. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. He said, by grace, but by grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. This is Paul. He's speaking to them. And he said, it's by the grace of God that I am. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd still be a mess. If I could just add to what he said. He said, I'll still be a mess. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. So he said, I am what I am. I'm an apostle. I'm doing this work, amen, by the grace of God. But it wasn't because I was so good. He's letting them know, amen. But because I understand what I received, amen, and where I was and where I was headed, amen, I labor more than them all. I'm working harder than everybody because I understand. See, when you get this grace thing right, it changes everything. Amen. And you'll make the adjustment and you'll make the shift, amen, to operate in that grace even when your flesh is saying no. Even when your flesh has an aversion to what the spirit man is saying, do, when you get it right. Amen. He said more abundantly, but even there he said, but it's still not me. It's the grace of God. It's the empowerment of the grace of God, amen, that was with me. As Pastor Lynn was talking about that video, that's the grace of God, empowering that man. It's not him, because it left to our own selves, amen, he would want to see the young man destroyed. He would want to see the death penalty, whatever, even though it was an accident. Amen. He would want to see, you know how we are. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Amen. But Christ laid all that stuff to rest. But we get to that place, and he said, no, we need to do better than this. Amen. So he said, it was the grace of God that was with me. You know, as he was going about establishing churches and all these things, he spoke to them so much about grace concerning their salvation, amen, than anything else. In Philippians 1, let's look here, Paul and Timotheus, amen, in Philippians 1, verse 1. The servant of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God and Father, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God. Now hear what he says. I thank God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy for your fellowship with the gospel, for the first day, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Now, by grace, he began the good work. He called us to himself. Amen. And he put a desire in us. And as long as we yield to that, he's able to accomplish it. What did he say? Until the end. He started it. Question is, are we going to let him finish it? You know, these things just keep coming to my mind. It's like a parent that has labored and set aside and done all these things to get their child into college, and they carry in the tuition and the room and board and the books and all that, and all this, and all you got to do is make it to class. Yes. And make passing grades. It's all, I got the rest. I got this covered. It ain't costing you nothing except your time and your commitment to grow and to learn so that you'll be better prepared for life. That part I can't do for you. You know, he said, I got this. So I got you started in college. We got you through, you know, grade school and middle school and high school. But now I got you. I got you covered in college. And the child starts the first semester doing pretty good. But then y'all, some of us know and understand the college life. College ain't just books. They got the fraternities and the frets and the parties, and they got, you know, all these things. And next thing you know, that student is getting caught up with all the side issues, failing the grades and the whole nine yards. And the parent said, I've done all I can do. But I can't continue to fund this fund. Right? But see, we want that parent, Jesus Christ, to continue to fund our fund and not make any changes. We still want to have all the fun, amen, because, you know, that's what he said. You know, he said, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, the more I sin, the more grace I'm going to get. Grace is a good thing. But he said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? And that's it. I just understood. You're not dead to it yet. So we get to this place, amen. But he said, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, he says, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye, now here, this last phrase, he said, ye all are partakers of my grace. Wait, what do you mean, Apostle Paul? Why they are partakers of your, what he's really saying is, you know, I've brought this to you by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And the grace that I have, I've made it available to you because God made it available to me. So this is my grace, but guess what? It's your grace also. If you will receive it and you will walk in it, amen. So he's speaking, amen, from that point, amen, so that we understand how this grace is functioning and how this grace operates. You know, because we're liberated by grace. was set free, amen, not by all the other things, amen, that may seem to come along, amen, but it's his grace, amen, that operates in us and to help us, you know, literally graced by grace, amen. And we understand those two things. We receive grace so that we can receive grace. That might be a little bit complicated for somebody, you know, but grace being the first grace, being the item, we receive grace. Amen. It's the item, amen, so that the second grace becomes our possession. Now that I have grace, I can receive the item of grace, is what he's telling them. But see, until you receive grace, you can't receive grace. Am I losing anybody? I said, until we receive grace, we can't receive grace. See, he gives us grace, amen, so that now we can walk in grace. Amen. We can function in grace. Amen. But so we got to understand that. In Acts 20:24 says this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel. Now, what he said, the gospel of the grace of God. I want to testify. I want to tell everybody about this thing. You know, because, you know, I couldn't do it on my own. Amen. In verse number 32 in that same chapter, amen, he said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Hear what he said, the word of grace is able to do. It's able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Anybody in here could use an inheritance?
Amen.
I believe so, amen. But see, grace is called us out, and now it has built us up and set us up for more. Mm-hmm. Who would not want that? You know, who would not want to be in that place if they already got it wrapped in their mind, wrapped around it, amen. But see, we get derailed and we get off track, amen, and we get distracted, amen, because of the shiny objects in the world. You know, this and that and that and this, amen. And then someone comes and tells us, well, this will work better. And, you know, 7 points of how to have a better relationship. 7 points on how to become a millionaire. 7 points on how to save your marriage. You know, and if these things ain't built on the grace of God, it's a shiny object. That's wanting to distract you, because you can find all that in the Word of God. All that, amen. You know, we begin to understand, amen, in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, it says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel. See, they're preaching something else, but it ain't Christ. You see, another gospel, which is not another. I like that phrase, which is not. See, you turned your ear to it, but it's really not another gospel, because there's only one gospel. Amen. So he said, that's which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Imagine that. But though we or an angel from heaven, and this is a strong statement, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Even if it's an angel, you say, what? An angel wouldn't come down telling you nothing different. I don't know about that. A third of them fell with Satan. Hello? So don't be deceived. If they're telling you anything that is contrary, amen, in any area of any one of our lives to the Word of God, it's another gospel. Amen. And it's really not a gospel. It's a trap. It's a trick. Amen. He's helping us know that, even if you're the one telling you that. See, sometimes our struggle is not everybody else. Well, I got to go here just for a second. Sometimes our trouble is what we're telling ourselves that don't line up with the Word. Amen. And we embrace it because it becomes what? Here you go, that statement. There it is, right there. It's our truth. Our truth. But you know what? I always think about how Christ said, I am the way, the truth. There's only one truth. Anything that's contrary to this is a lie. Amen? He said, if your truth don't line up with his truth, your truth is not truth. Amen? I just had to cover that just real quick. Amen. Don't stay there too long. Amen. But see, he said, let him be accursed. Amen. As we said before, so say I again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received. He didn't say it once, but he said it twice. Let him be accursed. Amen. It's the grace of God that sets us free. It's the grace of God that gives us the strength to overcome, amen, and to stand and to continue to be who God has called us to be. It's the grace of God that liberates us from us if we let it do what God wants us to do in our lives. But we can push it aside, amen. We can turn our back on it. We can do all these things. But, you know, even when you turn your back on it, he's still there. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, you know, he said, he ain't going to force his way into my life or your life. He said, if you open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with you. But you got to let him in. Don't kick him out, but let him in. Amen. And allow him to stay. You know, like I said, we want to live aiming to be kingdom representatives, right? But that means we need grace on board. Because you cannot be a kingdom representative without the grace of God operating in your life. Amen. Because the enemy is going to trip you up. He's going to cause you, amen, to go through things, amen, and see, do you really got it? You know, and we don't know till the rubber hits the road, right? We don't know, amen, until, you know, the problem falls in our lap. And then we'll see what you got. Let me see what you got. Anybody ever been there? I know I have. What you got? How you going to respond? What you going to do with that? Amen. And I pray, amen, that my response would be much as the same as that man who said, I'm concerned about the young man. You know, I understand I'm devastated about my daughter, amen, but I'm still concerned about that soul as well. Amen. With that kind of mindset, I can guarantee you he had let his baby girl know about Jesus. Amen. With that kind of mindset, it has to be. You know, that would be a just God. Amen. So we got to grab hold of this grace and understand. Amen. We can't be justified by anything else or by, you know, any other action. Amen. It's simply our surrender to God. Surrender to his will. Surrender our flesh, our emotions, our feelings, you know, and of course our will. How many times we stop and think, I'm not willing to do all that. See, there's that will getting in the way again. You know, it's Christ who's made a way for you and for me. And his grace is so powerful, so overwhelming, amen, that if we really can wrap our minds around it and understand what it is and how powerful it is and how much God wants to move in our life, in our situations, in our circumstances, if we just pause and say yes. Pause and say, you know, one of my things that helped me, many of y'all know, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And when I'm saying that, Lord, I need your grace right now, is what I'm really saying. Give me some grace. Give me the power in this moment to be a kingdom representative. Give me the power in this moment not to be overtaken or, you know, by this situation that's external of me, when I have what the Bible says is greater in me. So help me activate, you know what they say? Holy, activate? How do you say it? Holy Spirit, activate? Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we say activate too late. You know, it's kind of late to pull your parachute when you already hit the ground. Wouldn't do much good. You know, you get about 10 feet from the ground, then you pull the parachute. Too late. When you feel that rush of air, when you step out the air, that's about the best time to pull the parachute. when you realize I'm not in the plane no more. Pulled the parachute. Right? What am I saying? When you feel that rush of anger, when you feel that rush of frustration, Holy Spirit activate. When you first start feeling that you can't do it on your own, Holy Spirit activate. Help me. And guess what? He'll be right there. You know, just like when you pull on, I never skydived, but you know, I've watched enough and talked to people. But when you pull that parachute, you feel the jerk when that chute opens fully. You know, because you fall in, and all of a sudden, oh, it got me, pulls you back, slows you down. Then you can enjoy the view. So when you say Holy Spirit activate, let Him snatch you back, slow you down, and let you enjoy the view. While He operates through you. See, we got to get to that place. Amen. Help me right now, Lord. Because if you don't do something right now, I am. And that ain't going to be good. You know, I want them to see you. Not me. You know, as Pastor Linda was exhorting, I was thinking about a message I've been playing with in my mind. Amen. And I'm going to let y'all in on the title here real quick. It's called The Invisible Man. Mm-hmm. The invisible man. We got any invisible men in here? Men or women? See, because we want to get to that place. Well, I'm not going to go there. Amen. Y'all got to wait for the rest of it. All right? But you're coming soon. Okay. Amen. But we got to get there. Amen. And only by His grace, only by His power, can we walk this walk in this world in which now we live? You know, Pastor Linda was sharing something with me this morning about Target. I'm like, what in the world? You know, and it's frustrating. I'm going to stop. I got to stop. It's frustrating. That's why we need His grace. You know, that's why we need the Holy Spirit operating on board so we know how to respond, amen, with His help. Because, you know, as righteous as we want to be, as righteous as we might think we are, our response is still off without His help. Because without His help, we're doing it of our own understanding. And He said, I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I want to acknowledge You and let You direct my path. Now, when He says direct my path, amen, He's not just talking about where you go, but He's also talking about what you say. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. You know what I'm saying? We gotta corral this thing that we are operating in, this flesh. We gotta corral it, amen. We gotta understand it. We gotta, you know, be able to yield it to God, yield it to His Spirit. Help us, Lord. And I want to just encourage us because we have what we need on board. You know, but oftentimes, too often, we don't tap into it. It's there, right? I mean, if I was to say, okay, how many times have we done something and immediately we knew we was off course before we even finished the sentence or the action? We knew we was off course. You know, that lets you know it's on board. The Holy Ghost said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and so if we pause, everybody say pause. Take a moment. You know, sometimes you might have to tell that other person, give me a minute. Hold that thought. Right? Give me a minute to collect myself and release the Holy Spirit. Because myself about to show up. But give me a minute. Pause. Reflect. Lord, I need You right now. Do you think He'll abandon you? You think He's going to look at you and say, Sam, let me see what you got? No, He's going to show up and help you out. He's going to order and direct. Listen, He's going to help us by His grace. I need some grace right now. We need grace every day. Graced by grace. Amen. And when we understand we can walk it out every single day and every single circumstance, it's empowering. Amen. It releases the favor of God. Amen. The privileges of God, the blessings of God in our lives. Amen. If we just say yes. So if there's anyone here this morning that needs some more grace, come on to this altar. Need some more grace. Amen. Operating in our lives. Amen. Need that grace. Amen. So that we don't show up, but that the grace of God does. As we yield and surrender to Him. He loves you. You know, and one thing about grace, you know, when we deal with law, amen, law demands justice. It demands you to be righteous. You know, one of the points I put in here, you know, he said it demands us righteousness, but grace imparts righteousness. It gives us His righteousness because we got none of our own. You know, and grace and the law can't not work together. Right. See, so we can preach law, amen, but there's no grace in law, and there's no law against grace. All right. See how that works? And if we understand it, it's like you get pulled over by the policeman. You speeding. You know you were speeding. Amen. He pulled you over righteously. Right. You know, now he's got a choice. He can exercise the law, or he can give you grace, which is called what? A warning. Right? And I know, you know, that we would prefer to get the warning. Because if we don't, but if we don't heed the warning, we're going to get pulled over again. And guess what? When he gives you a warning, it goes on your record. So when the next policeman pulls over, it may not be him, but when he pulls you up, well, they got 1, 2, 3 warnings. Now it's time to exercise some law, right? See, because the first 3 warnings, we took them in vain. We just kept on. Well, he said, no, it's time to exercise the law. Give me a license. Give me your insurance. I'm writing you up. I don't want to get rid of, right? Anybody want to get rid of by God? Anybody want to have you? You know, you got a good record, amen, living as a child of God, but we allowed ourselves to yield to ourselves rather than to Him, and next thing you know, we're being erased. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come before You right now, God, and we thank You, Lord, for Your grace. We thank You for that such a powerful, powerful offering that You've given us, God. Lord, and that You're not just giving, Lord, but You want to impart it into us, Lord, that it would work on us and through us, Lord, that we can show it to others. So we ask You right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray with my brothers and sisters that have come to this altar this morning, even as we sang the song, I want more. Let's put our finger on the more yes, grace, God. Yes, God. More of Your grace operating in me, more of Your power in enabling me in every circumstance, God, to represent You. Lord, it's available, and You've made it available to us, God. And we ask You right now to break every stronghold of the enemy, every stronghold, Lord, that will come against me, being able to operate in the level of grace that You desire me to operate in, God, because it's not me, it's You. Amen. Even as the scripture lets us know, the life that I now live is not I, but it's Christ who liveth in me, God. Let me make room for You, God. Help me to make room for You in every circumstance, Lord. When these things are coming against me, making room, as I pause, I'm stepping back, Lord, that You might step forward and show me how to do it, God. Show me by Your grace. Show me by Your power. So I pray, God, that You would meet each one of these individuals, God, and all those under the sound of my voice, whether in present or online, Lord, that we would hear and we would operate according to Your grace. Lord, that we would know, God, that without You, we will fail. Without You, God, we will fall. So help us to know how to instantly call upon Your name, instantly yield to You, instantly say, help me, Jesus. And You will, because You said You would, God. You said You are near us, even in our mouth. If we would just call upon You, You would give us that that we need. You would activate that Holy Spirit. You would activate that grace that's in us, Lord, that we can function in a way, God, that magnifies you. So, Lord, now we cast off all condemnation. Lord, because you didn't come to condemn us, God. But you do send your word to bring conviction that we might change. It helps to show us where we are, Lord, that we might change. So no, there is therefore what? No condemnation in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we cast off the accusations of the enemy. The accusations that will wound our heart, that will wound our spirit, Lord, that will cause us to turn around. We cast off all those things, Lord. There's no law, hallelujah, against your grace, Lord. So we exercise grace over the lives of your people right now in your name. And we ask you, Lord, to magnify and multiply that grace in us, Lord, more and more every day. We want more. We want more of your grace, more of your favor, more of your power operating in us, Lord, that we can represent you the way that you desire us to represent you, God. Lord, we lay ourselves aside and we say, have your way in me and through me. We surrender right now. We yield unto you right now. And we thank you, Lord, for your saving and your forgiving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.